Hi, everyone. My name is Jeannie Toper. I can't even put in words how thankful I am to be here. I'm a licensed mental health counselor intern, which means I'm still getting my hours. I wanted to say initially that when I speak, I use the we pronoun, and I know in ACA we don't usually do that. And I'd also like to say that not everything that I say might be true for you, so you take what you want and leave the rest. I thought you could look at your little bracelets for grounding if you needed them. And I am so glad that you are here. This is a psychodynamic inner child cozy cottage workshop, and it's the deep work. And it takes a lot of courage, but it is a huge game changer. When I lead a group, I'm gonna put this down. When I lead a group, I start every meeting with the word hope. I just want you to know, as much as you can, plant that word inside yourself, because I don't care how broken your heart might feel or how tangled your relationships might be, the freedom and peace that comes from this work is beyond belief. And we're working now with our deepest, most fragile self, but it's important. And we need as many tools as we can with how confusing and complex life is. And I'm here because this world needs you to be the very best you that you can be. And if I could be a part of that, that means a lot to me. And anything can happen. Anything happens all the time. So the more we understand ourselves, the more we can love ourselves. And nature is designed for healing. Just like when you get a little boo-boo on your finger, things will come into place for your psyche to heal. It's a raw undertaking, but there's tenderness, sensitivity, and strength along your path. And we do this together. The second thing I bring up in every group I lead is the word mindfulness. And Gus is doing his workshop right now, but I learned mindfulness from him. And he says, Jeannie, mindfulness is just paying attention. So the first thing I want us to pay attention to, and I do this all day long, is our bodies. So there's little steps where you lower your shoulders, loosen your jaw. We don't even realize we're holding our jaw tight. I hold my stress in my arms, so sometimes I just relax my arms a little bit and breathe, and breathe. And the next thing about mindfulness that's really important is paying attention to our thoughts and hitting delete on a regular basis when we need to. I extremely admire the psychological work of Dr. Aaron Beck. And he is the father of cognitive behavior therapy. And cognitive behavior therapy is CBT, cognition is a thought. So our thoughts create our emotions, and our emotions create how we feel. So if I think my life sucks, I'm gonna feel sad, and I might isolate. But when you listen to this video of Dr. Aaron Beck, and all this information is in your handout where you can find these things, he was with a patient, and he said to her, "What are you thinking right now?" And she said, "I am thinking that you must be thinking I am very boring." And that blew his mind, because that's when he realized that it's not our thoughts. I never liked CBT. I'm like, don't tell me to change my thoughts when I'm bleeding out from 1,000 paper cuts or exploding in grief. I was like, really? But that's when he realized that our thoughts are created by our underlying beliefs that we have about ourselves and life. And that is what we explore deeply in ACA. Our underlying beliefs. Okay, so what we do in ACA is we follow the thread back, and that's the work. For example, I grew up with alcoholism. My mother was a major alcoholic. She couldn't pay attention to us, so I believed I wasn't worth paying attention to. It was violent, so I was scared. So I said, oh, life is scary. I'm not going to make it. And so then I said, I got to kick life's butt or life is going to kick my butt. And so I became an overachiever. People handle things differently. Okay, so those were my underlying belief systems. I was 26 years sober when I got an ACA almost 12 years ago. I say AA saved my life. ACA saved my heart. So that's Dr. Beckett. I don't want to forget anything. So, yeah, so for me, a pinprick was like a stab wound. I called myself love-starved. I would have a breakup. I wouldn't be disappointed. I would be devastated. Okay, so that's the kind of work I had to do. And my heart was simmering with heartache. You know, my mind was always going too fast. But then when we heal, everything changes. Okay. I cannot say enough about unresolved grief. I did a dissertation on schizophrenia as unresolved grief. I believe a person could be so hurt and scared that they could split into different personalities. They say, oh, I'm not living in the past. The past is living in us, okay? And it's buried in a very shallow grave. So we're wounded people. Not everybody, as I say, all these things might not apply to you, but many of us are wounded people, and we put dirty bandages on our wounds. Drugs, sex, gambling, shopping, whatever it is. There was a, I'd like to tell a little story about a, I gotta keep my eye on the time, about a prisoner who was in jail for 12 murders, and he felt nothing. The term for that is dissociated, but a therapist went in there and worked with him for 4 years. And he got in touch with his feelings and his remorse. And she heard the most horrific stories of child abuse during his child and teenage years than she could have ever imagined. But that, you know, we know these stories. ACA is a platform for telling these stories, and these are important stories. And the healing process is tough. It takes time and patience, and you will have grief days. You will have days that suck, and you hold still in pain, because that's what we do together. If it was easy, everybody do it. This is the road less traveled. Clinicians use the term clinical states or spontaneous age regression, but we call it inner child work in ACA, so it's kind of cool. My friend Betty, the grief work that she does, they describe it like a teapot boiling on a stove, and those teapots explode. And many of those explosions are making national news. So this work really is about world peace. Get involved in world service if you can. I want you to be the very best you can be. It's a wonderful thing. And my codependency healed, like we can be with people out of curiosity rather than expectancy. Is the mic working okay for everybody in the back? Okay. So what is inner child work? Okay, it's actually Dr. Carl Jung, a genius psychologist who was born in Switzerland, who was the actual originator of this work, psychodynamic work. And there's all of this information is in your handout. He actually communicated with Bill Wilson. It's the most powerful thing. It's all their letters are in your handout. And that's a fascinating read because they was something. So he did psychodynamic work. And the people in ACA, we know that it's a very strong component of ACA work. We're blessed that Bonnie M. of Boston, I brought her picture. I don't see it right now, but oh yeah, I have her picture. Put the team together. Thank you, Bonnie, for putting the team together that developed this book. And the work we're doing today is published on page 78 and 79 of this book, I'm honored to say. So there's that. So what we're talking about is the gift of tears, okay? Crying helps so much. That's why I wanted the lights to be low. Grief is agonizing. It's painful. But one thing I've noticed that when you cry, you don't have to be crying forever and ever. And it's a thawing out process like the prisoner. You know, we thaw out. And as we talk about what's going on with us, and as we cry, our wounds heal. Okay, that is a promise. And there's a sweetness and a softness about the people who have done their work and the people in my life. I can honestly say that doing my unresolved grief work is what gave me the confidence that I have today. It showed I had to be so compassionate to see all I had lived through. I should be a statistic. I really should be. And I think this is one of the best books ever written. And tenderness and sensitivity are incredible characteristics, and they exist. Tenderness and sensitivity, vulnerability, fragility, those are characteristics that exist all throughout nature. Within every concept of God or higher powers that you can imagine. And that little person inside us is a precious, fragile flower. And it's a beautiful thing. I'd like to say, I just want to stick this in here, that a handout that's in there is the work of Marshall Rosenberg. He studied under Carl Rogers. It's called Nonviolent Communication. To do this work, you know, anger covers pain. Anger is pain's bodyguard, okay? And you need to learn how to communicate. You don't need to do anything. Excuse me, I'll watch my words. May I suggest English teachers teach reading, writing, vocabulary, and grammar. Communication's not in there. Maybe some young people took debate, but we never learned how to communicate. And I don't know about you, but it was not modeled in my home. So I put that in there so it explains the handout. There's workshops everywhere. Communication, we need that for boundaries and expressing ourselves to each other when we're hurt. It's an important thing. Take gentleness breaks doing this. Okay, parents in the room, I just want to address this. We're doing great. This work is for you, okay? Your parents, you probably passed on some dysfunction. I never had the courage to be a parent. I don't know how you do it. Props, man. But okay, so you did it. Because you didn't know how not to do it, okay? So this work is for you. A lot of times when people invite the little person in, they picture their kids, and I don't like the word kids. They picture their young people, and because you got that guilt and shame, have that guilt and shame. Get under the blanket with it. Yeah, you messed up. We're humans. Nobody knows what they're doing half the time. So put that on the back burner for today, just a suggestion. If your little person comes in the room in the cozy cottage and it's one of your children, so be it. It's going to go the way it goes. Okay. There's people in this room that are kind and loving, and my carers here is from BitBox. They don't say caretakers, they say carers. If you need any extra time or you're all pretty squished in, so it's probably going to be fine. But and at the end, I've got a bag of teddy bears over there. And the person, that's mine. Don't even think about it. But this is going to go to the best crier in the room. But my neighbors give me this stuff. And there's a bunch of Thai babies. What do you call them? Thai babies. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to go. So, we're doing the cozy cottage, And find what works for you within this, okay? You can sit there and listen. Anything is okay here. Is that too loud? I'll talk. It's a little bit loud. Oh, there's a volume button. Wow, she's smart and cute. Good job. I would never be able to. Okay. When you do this at home, many fellow travelers use teddy bears or pillows as comforting to hold. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes if that's available to you. Breathe. Remember our new tool that we're using. We lower our shoulders, relax our jaw. Relax our arms and breathe. Yeah, you can get out of your chair, you can lay on the floor, you can walk over to the side. So perhaps this can be a time that you can really be present to yourself. Imagine that you and your heart have all the space that you need right now. And once again, be mindful of your body. Relax your shoulders, breathe. And if it's available to you, I would like to invite you to imagine that you are in a warm and cozy cottage, nestled in a lush, safe forest. And landscape noise is lovely. We don't have to let landscape noise bother us. I learned that from Gus. Take a moment to feel the warmth of the fire and the safety of the cottage. It's evening, and you can hear the night sounds outside. There's some evening birds. Maybe an owl. Hoo hoo hoo. Hoo hoo hoo. Taya made me laugh. Okay, stay focused, focus. There's a sweet sound of crickets outside. Maybe your incredible, extraordinary mind can even picture lightning bugs. Consider envisioning yourself resting on a big soft couch or a comfy chair. You're sitting near a gorgeous fireplace under a soft, warm blanket. It's a bright orange, dazzling fire that gives you a feeling of safety and warmth. The fire crackles and it's warm, toasty, just lovely. Take a moment to think about how amazing nature's creatures are. You feel cozy, calm, and safe. Feel the goodness and safety that is there for you. How miraculous the human mind is that it can even envision such wonders. You look up and there's a door on the other side of the room. The door opens and a younger you comes through the door. Maybe you can get an actual vision of yourself, or perhaps you can just feel an essence of yourself. This little person comes toward you and will sit in a chair in front of you where your knees are kind of close. Keep breathing. Take a moment to look at the little you, the eyes, the face, the hair, the heart, This little one may take time to come. Maybe keep checking the door. This little one might be sad and need to cry, and that's wonderful. This little one wants to be seen, loved, heard, and accepted. You can now be the loving parent that this little child perhaps did not have. Sadness might be on the face of this little one. That is okay. It's better than okay. You use this time to be present to this young person before you. Children are precious and perfect. They need love and kindness. The little you might not feel important and loved. Let the tears come. You can now honor the pain and the fear and the losses. A child can only think that the things that happened was their fault and that maybe they were bad. Say, I'm so sorry you believe those things about yourself. They are not true. You just had to survive somehow. There is a blanket on the arm of the chair. Maybe see if you can take the blanket and put it around this precious child. This is a sweet, innocent, and precious little person. Young people should be listened to. They should have stories read to them and have their hair combed and band-aids put on their boo-boos. If you feel tension in your body, just breathe into it. Feel supported. Stay as present as you can to whatever comes up for you. You can listen to the words here or just have your own experience. Maybe your heart will give you words you want to say to this part of yourself. Some things that you could possibly say are, I am so sorry for what it was like back then. I sure do wish it was different for us. It was so hard. Nothing that happened was your fault. And I'm sorry for things that I did too. I didn't know the things that I now know. If it's available to you, close your eyes and let love flow from you to this precious part of yourself. This precious little soul just needs a place to rest their little head. If your little one didn't come out today, it's okay, but if they did, isn't that a wonderful, beautiful, miraculous thing? If the little one is in a bad memory place, it's okay to let that be present too. Just stay as present as you can to what is here. And crying heals our little hearts. Say, I love you. You're not alone anymore. If you fall down, I will pick you up. I'm not going away. I will carry you from now on. And you don't have to try so hard. We will be guided and loved along the way. You deserved everything, and I wish so much that you were loved right. But things are different now, and we don't live there anymore. I'm here now. I'm the parent now. I'm going to take better care of us. You are a precious treasure, and I will not leave you. Thank you for being so strong. There will be more gentleness now. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I love you just the way you are. We're going to be strong together because you make me better. You are beautiful inside and out. Keep breathing into it. And maybe the little one wants to sit close to you, or maybe even nestle in a bit in front of the warm fire. Allow whatever feeling comes up for you. It's okay. Maybe there is even a little promise you can make to this precious part of yourself. Maybe take a second to even say, what do you need? What can I do for you? Maybe you can feel a kind of divine comfort in the room. Maybe there is something you can give this younger you. Maybe a teddy bear or some kind of gift. Maybe there is a special person the child likes that could stand there too. Maybe Jesus or Buddha, light, angels. Sometimes I put panthers around me. Something I think that this little one might like to hear is that you will visit again. I will check in on you, precious little me. We're going to have great times together. Maybe ask the little one what they would like to do together. Or picture a place in your home that the little one would like to rest when you go to work or hard things. Now I'm going to request that you take yourself and your precious little one to a completely different place. If it's available to you, take the hand of the little one. And now with our magnificent minds, let us pretend that we are walking towards the Atlantic Ocean. You feel the warm sand on your toes. The sky is a gorgeous bright blue. Seagulls are flying in front of huge billowy white clouds. And you breathe in the sea air. How amazing the human mind is that we can imagine such beauty and loveliness. And how extraordinary nature is. And we sit here now and we have faith that we will be able to continue to use our minds to heal us. You look up and the sun is blazing down. This gigantic fiery ball that gives life to so much. You think of the sun, the waves, the little sandpipers on the shore, and you think to yourself, whatever power there is, this power that can hold the sun in the sky, create tidal waves, the moon, and the birds, then this power can take care of us too. And now slowly you can come back into the room. And good work. You did a hard thing. Or teddy bears, we got you up if you need Kleenex. Okay, now I want to now I'd like to tell you another story about a little girl that I know of, and this is a story of hope. Most people know that an alcoholic home is a violent place. This little girl's mother left her dad when she was about 3 years old, and then the little girl's mother spent about 5 years with a man that would beat her up on a regular basis. The police would come. The little girl has memories of seeing her mom thrown down a flight of stairs, and she recalls going up to her mother several times to see if she was alive. She has memories of her and her little sister clinging to each other in bed, trying to block out the sounds of the fighting. She can tell you stories of how her mother and the boyfriend would go in bars in the morning, and they would be left in the car from morning till night. She recalls playing a game for hours, guessing what the next color of the car would be that would drive by. The beatings got real bad, and the police would come, but no charges would ever be pressed. They moved. The mother and the two little girls. They tried to flee from him, and then she ended up going to 13 schools before sixth grade. School was scary because the nuns were scary. In New York, the nuns got to hit children. Because she moved so much and changed school so often, she recalls standing in front of the class in front of a division problem, and she had never seen a division problem before. So she tried to avoid school. And because of the alcoholism and the very little money they had, she would maybe miss 50 days a year. Once she told a story about neighborhood kids tying her up and they almost made her drink Drano. But her mother came just in time. The little girl never really knew what history meant because each school would study a different thing. One school would be studying Indians, and the others would be saying national history or state or China. And she never had any friends. She has a little memory of sitting outside in recess and sitting there alone and looking across the parking lot and seeing her sister sitting there too. And she was told to never tell anybody what was going on because then they'd go in foster care. So she missed a lot of school. And the hope in this story is that the little girl who was afraid to go to school, who was thought maybe she was not even bright, got two master's degrees, the highest credential in the field of teaching in the country, and actually was a genius. Not Bill Gates kind of genius, but 122 on Wechsler's. And she used all these things that happened to her to try to be there for others. She was scared when she was little, and she became a really good English teacher. She did become an alcoholic along the way, but this because of the pain that was inside her, but she got almost 39 years sober. But when she was little, in the sixth grade, she was living with her father because her mother's alcoholism had progressed so bad. Her mother died in a car accident. Alcohol and fighting were probably involved. And after her mom died, all the little girl got was her mother's purse. And I gotta get my here's my mother's purse. Here's my mother's purse, because that was my story. Thank you for hearing it. Did you know the whole time? Did everybody know the whole time? I know my people did. Okay, so if I can make it, you can make it. And they say for every person that dies of alcoholism, two people are saved. And my sister and I are both sober. My sister's been sober a long time. I was kind of parentified. She raised two sons. She's got a little G baby named Caleb and the whole thing. So I can't thank you enough. And what we're going to try to do now is have some time shares. But thank you for being here. This work is about world healing. And it's an honor. And I'm humbled that I have something to say, because for a long time I didn't. Thank you. Thank you. So I guess my carers, if anyone would like to share, we can do that. It would be wonderful. Kathy's here. Diane, Tony.
Miss Betty?
Hi, sweetie. Hi, my name is Betty. I'm a grateful member of ACA, and Jeannie, what a gift you are. Just such a gift. And I've done this meditation several times, and it never ceases to remind me of where she was and where she is today. How important to get in touch with that little girl and the healing of her unexpressed grief and loss. And as an adult child, so much of my loss was intangible, the loss of trust and safety, the loss of nurturing, of unconditional love. So thank you for that. Thank you for always sharing who you are, where you came from, and the most amazing, beautiful human that you are today. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Sarah Leah, ACA. A few weeks ago, an incident happened. Well, I was the...
I think there's that little button you have to hurt your thumb holding it up. Or something.
You
want to
try
that
again?
Did everybody hear Betty okay?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the room is fine.
Hello? Can you hear me? At any rate, I had an anger and rage attack. It only lasted for a few minutes, but anyway, it was really upsetting. And we figured out, me and my sponsor and other people helped me figure out that this was a teenager. And I have a lot of inner children, and the teenager was always. Here's the group of them here, and was always outside the circle. And now she isn't outside the circle. And so I asked her what she needed from me, and she said, I need to see you. I need you to spend time with us every day. So that's what I do now. With the teenager and my six-year-old and my three-year-old. And today it was with the three-year-old, and she is just adorable. And she is the one who, my mother was severely mentally ill. And she was the one who got my sister out of the crib and protected her, because I was 3 years older when I was three. And She's just a really courageous thing. I can't even, I can't, it's hard to even, it's so hard. I can't think of her as me because I can't imagine ever doing anything like that. But anyway, that's what happened. And so I see these three of the bunch every day, and right now they're ice skating, which is just ridiculous. I said, what do you want to do today? We want to go skating. Oh, God. So anyway, but we're usually at the beach. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Aileen. I am my own loving parent and a grateful member of ACA, as well as AA, too. I came in late and so grateful for all the 12-step programs, really. Thank you. The mindfulness, the meditations, the coming to my own inner child has been the greatest experience, and that book, I mean, it was still a draft when I received it, and I'm about halfway through it now. But the awarenesses that I'm getting, when I found that page with the feelings and the universal needs and realized I had gotten none of those needs growing up, it was a revelation. And a beautiful revelation, because I gained the clarity. It clarified even my sobriety in AA and all those defects that were not defects, they were coping skills for me, and I didn't know that. And so I'm so grateful for this program and that book. So glad to be here with you all. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kalimba, and I'm delighted to be here. Gratitude is my superpower, and it is in full force today. Thank you so much, Jeannie. Thank you for sharing your stories. I feel like the Loving Parent Guidebook could, in fact, be given to every new parent when they have their baby in the hospital.
Yes.
I believe it so strongly that when I complete a lawsuit and have some money in my hands, I'm going to buy some for Good Sam where I survived COVID. I'm going to tell you my personal story is my controlaholic dad, my depressed alcoholic mom, and I don't know, my first understanding of who I was came at the age of 3 when I was riding my two-wheel bicycle without training wheels for the first time. My dad, the genius, said she can do it, and I did. But then I wiped out and broke my toe, and my mom says to me, now you won't be able to wear the Easter shoes we bought you. So that certainly diminished my sense of self-worth in the world. And I loved that you said that some of this stuff that we believed, I mean, we didn't know. I didn't know I was believing that I meant less to my mother than a pair of shoes. But I definitely got that feeling of, you know, I don't really matter. You don't see me. You don't hear me. So I'm so grateful for this program. And I have 3 adult sons. And we're kind of all growing through some stuff together. And I'm really grateful, but it's painful. Because, even while we were doing the meditation, yeah, I had my little girl, and I'm rocking her, but I'm thinking so sadly about how I wish I knew that when I was raising my sons, who are in their 40s now. So thank you so much for this work. And I'm serious about when I get some money, I'm donating some Loving Parent guidebooks. Right on. I feel you, girl. I'm with you. Thank you so much, everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sarah, I'm a grateful member of ACA. Jeannie, I want to thank you for the beautiful symbol of the teddy bears. Somebody a long time ago shared something with me that was really profound. And when my mother was still with us, she's passed away, but she was very sick. And it was up to me to take her on her doctor appointments. And I really literally thought I was going to pass out in the examining room with her because I was so full of anxiety. My little girl was in an absolute panic over what we were hearing from the doctors. And so someone said once, just leave your little girl at home next time you go with your mom. And you do the adult work and let her be a little kid at home. And so I went out and bought a little teddy bear, a beautiful little bunny with little bows in her hair, and she sits in my closet. And when I have to go do something that's stressful or outside of my comfort zone, I turn to that little stuffed animal and I say, okay, you stay here, you're gonna watch TV today, you're gonna have the best day, and I'm gonna go do the adult thing. You don't need to worry about it anymore. And it was life-changing for me, and it just came up for me when I saw the teddy bears, because I think everybody should get a little doll. And, you know, that's your little kid. They get to stay home and just, it's the precious little symbol of a little stuffed animal. So thank you for doing that, Jeannie.
I have two of you.
Oh, dear. My name is Jan, and I am also very, very grateful to be here. And I met Jeannie when I first moved up here. Can you hear me? Yeah. I met Jeannie when I first moved up here 16 years ago. And, you know, we've been through a lot together, and I can tell you that what you see is exactly what you get all the time. And I mean, just the tone of her voice talking to me is calming and loving. She talks to me the same way that she talks to the little bunnies outside of her house. And I absolutely love it, you know. But what a joy you have been in my life, and how much you've helped me. And I'm so grateful to be here. And I'm an alcoholic also. And probably an ACA and an Al Anon. You know.
It's a dangerous year, though, right?
What's that?
It's a dangerous year.
It's always.
Life is dangerous.
We got 10 minutes left. So, yeah, if you could keep it down to like 90 seconds or so we can hear from everybody. The little person might want to say something.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm a double winner, triple winner. I'm through all these programs. But about 6 months ago, I walked into my therapist's office, and I can speak these meetings with her because she's also in them as well. But I walked through the door, and she has a sock monkey on her. That sock monkey just speaks to me. One day I was out and I was shopping. That was one of the criterias, wasn't it? Which I do a lot because I don't do other things now. Thank goodness. And I saw sock monkeys, but I saw baby sock monkeys. And right there in the store, I just saw me. And that sock monkey, those sock monkeys came home with me. And one now resides in my room, and one resides at the therapist's office. And everybody that walks through that office, he says, picks that monkey up and really resonates with it And, you know, it was just what I saw at the time. Today, I have great coping skills in many meetings that I go to. But one of the best things that I have to say is thank you, Jeannie, for your story. Because without your voice, our voices won't be heard either. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would? Okay.
Jeannie, one more.
Sorry. Hi, my name's Ariel, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and this is my first time in a room of ACA. So, I did. I'm No, I'm here with my sponsor, and she said maybe you should go into some of the Al-Anon rooms, you know, because I am dealing with a lot with my mom. My dad died suddenly and traumatically a year ago, and I moved my mother in with me, and I didn't realize a lot until that happened. And so I'm doing a lot of work. I'm from Colorado, and I'm down here. I put myself in treatment. Since October, I've been down here. And it's really difficult dealing with not getting any support from my family and the love that I wanted and expected. And just looking at all of this that I've been feeling and knowing and learning about on my own and through the other STEP programs, but not, you know, seeing it in writing. And it just, thank you for being here and for all the love and support in this room. And Jeannie, your voice and your laugh. Your laugh is just, I feel the love just pouring out from you. And when you looked into my eyes when you started talking, I just knew immediately that I was safe. And so I just wanted to say thank you so much. 'Cause I guess I just really needed this today. And, my inner child really needed this today, and she needs a lot. She needs a lot of love. Thank you. Thank you.
We get through hard days, and they can suck. We got one more. We got 5 minutes, right, Kathy?
Hi, I'm Alice. And I saw a meme earlier today, and I wanted to share it because it's very appropriate about the teddy bears. Don't date people who make you feel like you have to hide your stuffed animals. This is without exaggeration, probably the best dating advice I've ever seen. I loved what you had to say today. This was very, very spiritual. Thank you.
Jeannie, I think we're getting ready to.
Okay.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, I said a lot. You were really polite and kind to me, and I loved that I got to look into your eyes, and I'm humbled and honored to be here. And Kathy, is there anything that you would like to close us up with? Good work, and it's a lot of bravery, but we got this together. Thanks a bazillion.
So let's give it up for Jeannie. Did a great job. Oh, sweet, a standing ovation.